Hey, and welcome to the FitPro Lead Gen podcast. It's proudly sponsored by LeadDeck, the all-in-one tool that helps you manage and automate the leads into your fitness business. Today, we have another massive guest interview for you. But before we do dive into this week's guest interview, be sure to come join us inside the Facebook group where you can watch these guest interviews live and ask your questions. Simply click the link in the description below to join the group. Anyway, enough of me talking. Let's dive into this week's guest interview. Good morning, everybody, and welcome to a brand new guest interview. Today we have Ryan Thomas all the way from Petersfield near Winchester. Is that how you'd maybe explain where Petersfield is?
Yeah, kind of in between Guildford and Portsmouth.
Nice, nice. So a nice little rural place. So it's going to be quite interesting for those that kind of live in the big cities and a really densely populated area. How you run your fitness business might be a little bit different to how Ryan runs it. Anyway, today we're going to talk all about systemizations and how it can have a greater impact and give you more freedom by installing all these things into your fitness business. But if we do dive into some of the stuff that you have and how you run your fitness business and so forth, tell us a little bit about yourself. How did you get started in the fitness industry?
Yeah, David, I think like a lot of people, it was coming from a passion for it myself. And I grew up, I was a super skinny kid and got to 18 and really needed to put some weight on. I ended up just falling in love with it. And it transformed me. And then I started helping out friends and family and that kind of thing. And then it sort of naturally rolled on from there. And so I could make a career out of this. And then you start doing it for big corporates. And then the next thing is you're thinking, I could do this better myself. So that was where kind of the studio came from. And really a desire to try and do personal training better than what was on offer in most of the corporate environments I was in.
Okay, so I know we're going to talk about systemization, but a lot of people watching or listening to this live or whether it's further down the line, they're going to be in that position where they were working for corporates or they were just doing outdoor boot camps or one-to-one PT and they have this goal, they have this desire to have their own studio. What was it that tipped you over the edge to say that now I'm ready to go and get a studio?
Yeah, interesting. So I think I was dabbling with it. I worked for David Lloyd for quite a while. And with their setup, you very much kind of, you're left to your own devices. All of a sudden, you're writing your own programming, you're contacting clients, you're booking them in, you're basically doing your own marketing, but on the gym floor. And then I went on this holiday and there was a couple of business books I had lined up on this trip to Greece. And it was The E-Myth by Michael Gerber. And then it was The 4-Hour Workweek with Tim Ferriss. And having never been of that kind of mindset, these two books in one holiday just kind of blew my mind and totally changed the way that I saw business and what a business was and the purpose of a business. Very rapidly started to put the pieces together of, you know, I'm doing the programming, I understand the marketing, and I understand the way to start to think about from these two books specifically. I read a load more, but these two books specifically gave me the kind of lens in which to see building a business through. So that's kind of where the sort of systemization idea originally came from, and is one that's kind of stuck with me ever since, really.
Nice. Okay. So then, like, your mind changed, you're convinced now it's time to really kind of go on my own or open a studio and stuff. How difficult was it to find a studio, to find that opportunity to be able to move into your own place?
Yeah, it's a process, 100%. So I started off, I found a local guy who had kind of, it was almost like, he called it a studio, but it was basically a shed in the back of his garden with a few dumbbells in it. And he said, you know what, for such and such, you can rent it off of me, for a month. And so I built up a pretty healthy client base at a local gym, and I started building up this extra client base outside of the gym, in this shed, which didn't have any heating. And it was pretty brutal. But it started to click in pretty quickly that clients weren't coming for the space, they were coming for the coaching. And as long as the coaching was of a good enough standard and they were seeing results, it the space was going to add to it, don't be wrong, but it wasn't what people were primarily there for. And I was able to attract quite a premium level of client, even to this shed. And then unfortunately, pretty quickly, as my client base grew, the guy I was renting it off of wasn't happy with that anymore. I found a local space. It was 200 square foot. It was tiny. It was an old office. And that was where this systemization started to come in. Really from day one, from me in this tiny space, because I knew that if I had another person that I was working with, I could cover all of the costs and really increase the profit margins with just this tiny, tiny environment. So I had to already start thinking about, okay, well, what would an optimal calendar look like? How could I onboard them into the same way that I'm already coaching these clients? I want them to deliver a very similar kind of product to what I'm already delivering. So I started the process of just on my own writing a training manual of how I wanted clients to be trained. And that kind of started this process of systemizing every part of the business that I could.
It's really interesting because obviously I'm in a position where I get to speak to, I don't know, 10, 20, 30, 40 fit pros a day on different type of things that they have going on in their fitness business. And it always surprises me how you're either forced to make these changes, or like you say, the studio, you just happen to know somebody who had the shed for you to get started with. So if people are out there getting a bit stressed, don't kind of like go at it alone, speak to others, kind of see what's out there and use your network, your referrals to see what's available. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think in hindsight, the shed was completely unnecessary. I think if you're confident in your own ability and your ability to get clients results, the local park is a great place to start. Your garage is a great place to start. Your garden is a great place to start. I do think as well, there's an element of, you don't have to, if you're new to all of this, if the business side of it is new to you too, that you don't have to quit your kind of day job first. You can start to get experience in these things, in marketing your services, working for yourself without having to sort of burn the ships type thing.
So thinking back about it now, obviously you're in this great studio now with all this equipment and everything like that, and you had the shed, and I'm guessing you had very minimal equipment and stuff. If you had the chance to kind of go straight into this major studio that you've got now with all this equipment, or have to do the shed to really kind of build that knowledge of foundation experience, would you go and do the shed again to be able to move into the studio?
Yes. Yeah, I mean for me personally, I'm a bit of a free spirit, and business was never really on my radar. My dad spent a life in corporate and hated it. And so for me, it was sort of taking on this lens of that a business is a machine that you can build to serve you in your life. That was very much the E-Myth method. That started to change my mind, but I started from scratch. I started in those big corporate gyms, learning, marketing and referrals and all that stuff for the very first time. So 100%. I had to, every stage of the journey has taken a new level of understanding, a new skill set. And there is no way that the guy that was training people at the shed would be able to run the, 8 trainer studio that I've got today. I would not have understood how it worked. and where my time should have been allocated, and where it was going to be most useful. I think having a passion for fitness and training, it has been one of the hardest parts, is to pull myself slowly out of the delivery of the product, especially when I've loved the product. But it's been the biggest game changer and the thing that's really grown the business, if that answers your question.
Okay, so one more question before we do dive into the systematizations and everything like that. You were doing really well at this commercial gym at David Lloyd, I think you said. So there will be people watching and listening this who work in a commercial gym. And you said you were doing really well. You had a real good number or a good portfolio of clients. How did you do it? What were the ways to generate leads? Because there's going to be people watching, like, wanting to know how you managed to grow this client base.
Yeah, 100%. So the gym floor is your local town, compared to sort of running a studio. So the gym floor is your town. Those are your people and that's your market. And I would get to know every single person that is in your gym. The David Lloyd that I worked at, the actual gym was upstairs. And what I would do when I first started is I'd position myself at the top of the stairs. And as members came up, I would just run over and say, "Hey, I'm Ryan. I haven't met you before," which I obviously hadn't because I was brand new at the gym. And then get talking and try and find out their name, their goal, and try and get them booked in for some kind of appointment with you, a program, that kind of thing. So the marketing funnel is kind of the same. You've got all of your conversations that are happening. You've then got your appointments booked where you're writing programs or having consultations or giving nutrition advice. And then within those, make sure that you're having sales-based conversations about how you can help people, would be my advice in the gym. But to look at it, it's the same funnel for all businesses. You're just in this microcosm of one specific environment. That would be my advice.
Okay, so I'm going to ask you potentially an awkward question now. Would it be easier finding clients in David Lloyd's, in Bannatyne, in Virgin Active, compared to the gym, Pure Gym, Energy Fitness?
I've done both. I work for Anytime Fitness in Sydney, in Australia, for about a year, and I've done the big premium company as well. So, is that kind of your question? Is it, you know, the sort of
work in a Pure Gym at maybe a disadvantage because of the type of person that goes there compared to the type of person that uses David Lloyd? Are paying a much higher rate and they're going for maybe a slightly different reason?
No, I don't think so. I think that is definitely an excuse that sat in the back of my mind working at Anytime Fitness. It's a budget gym. Everyone here is going to be on a budget. And it's just not true. I met massive business owners that it was just convenient and local to them. I would definitely not be put off by the fact that you're in a more sort of budget gym per se. It's just about having that number of conversations. It's that, you know, the touch points may need to be a little bit larger. You've got to have more engagement, with the sort of client base there. But no, I wouldn't say so at all.
Love it. So like you say, it is always a mindset thing for most things we have in business or in life. If the mindset is only one thing, there is a way to overcome it. Okay, so we're in the shed, as you called it, and we've got your PT stuff going on still at David Lloyd, and you've got this massive collection of clients building up in the shed and everything. And you were like, I've just got so much going on. I'm guessing you have limited time to be able to do it and stuff. How did you really discover systems initially to kind of give you time and freedom and make your life easier?
Yeah, I think I got to a pretty horrendous point. I was working 40 sort of gym floor hours at the corporate gym, and then I built up to about 20 to 25 hours outside in my days off. So I was doing sort of 6-7 days a week, and I did that for the best part of I think where it was really full on, probably about a year. And then, to be honest,
those were the days.
Those were the days. And yeah, I mean, they were great. They were great in many ways. I think it's definitely good to know that you can put the work in. And I think that was one of the things that gave me confidence in starting out on my own. I was like, look, if I can work a 70, 80 hour week, then running my own thing, surely doing that in one focused area, I'll be able to achieve something. So, I think going from that, it really, I guess the numbers started to make sense. I was flogging myself with work, and then the outside income started to total more than the, 40 gym floor hours that I was working. And so the numbers started to make sense, which was a big thing. I think just starting to go down the rabbit hole of all of this kind of business reading and understanding that business didn't have to be this kind of monotonous, shirt wearing, business meeting, boring thing. It could actually be something that was incredibly creative and liberating. And if anything, it was an ability to create the kind of life and lifestyle that I wanted. So it got to a point where I just had to make that decision, really.
Okay. So let me ask you, because you've mentioned books a few times now, what would you say are your five best, most helpful, most life-changing books that you've read that we all should be reading?
Five, gosh, let's do it. I think the top one is The E-Myth that I've mentioned already. It's Michael Gerber. Absolutely phenomenal in terms of the lens in which to see your business through and your part in your business. What he covers a lot of is that there's three roles in a business. You've got the technician, the manager, and the entrepreneur. Most small businesses fail because the owner, the creator, doesn't recognize those three roles and spends way too much time being the technician and never reaches being the entrepreneur. So that for me has rattled in my brain over and over through the whole time doing this. So I would definitely recommend that one. The 4-Hour Work Week, Tim Ferriss. I'm not anywhere near close to getting a 4-Hour Work Week. and I don't think Tim Ferriss is either. And I don't think you are either, David. No. but more than anything, once again, I think it's just a bit of a paradigm shift. Once again, he talks about, there's a quote that I love of his, which is, it's not about being it's not about being the train driver, the guy that manages the trains. It's about being the owner, the ghost in the machine. And whether that's to allow you to work 4 hours a week, or it's to allow you to optimize your business so that you're in the correct role in your business, I think that quote of the ghost in the machine, that you're unnecessary almost in so many parts of your business and that they can run systematically without you, has been another one that's just turned over again and again in my mind as I've gone through. So those would be I think my top two. One of my passions is Stoic philosophy, and the writer Ryan Holiday, his books. But The Obstacle is the Way is one of my favorites. The Obstacle is the Way is a book mainly based on a quote from Marcus Aurelius, the Roman emperor. And it's basically just about looking at challenges as opportunities. And there's certainly going to be some challenges if you go down this road. So I think being able to sort of turn that on its head and understand that the greatest people in history have all had great challenges. And it was the way that they turned those challenges into opportunities that made them great. So I try and remember that when some crazy thing happens in the business and you're back to working 6 to 7 days a week. those would be my top three. Maybe come back to me on the other two.
Nice. No, that's totally fine. Cool. Okay. So let's look at the systems then. So what was kind of like the first major system you put in place then to just make your life generally easier?
Yeah, I guess the biggest one for me, and it started with a bit of a pet hate from being in corporate gyms. But what you tend to have is if you've got like your typical Anytime Fitness or David Lloyd, you have, let's say, 10 personal trainers, and they've all got their individual passions and, you know, what they're interested in. And so you've got one trainer that's into bodybuilding, and it just so happens to be that all of his clients kind of do bodybuilding. And then you've got the powerlifting guy, and, you know, all of his clients all happen to do powerlifting, even though that's that, you know, their goal is weight loss or whatever. And so I found this a lot with the different gyms that I worked at. And I really wanted to standardize the products that was going to come out of the studio. So the first thing that I really worked on was actually systemizing personal training itself in a scientific way that was going to produce a repeatable result and was also going to mean that clients could train with different trainers in the studio. They would have flexibility with their bookings, and they were going to get a really similar product. They weren't going to walk away and go, oh, well, Ben told me to deadlift in a completely different way to you. Why is that? So really the first systems that I set out was, you know, how do we teach all these exercises? How do we periodize programs? How do we assess clients? So I'd say that was kind of where I started, really.
No, I can see that straight away from the culture that we've had over the times to everyone else I know. If you believe in a certain style of coaching or training, that's how you're going to train all your clients, which is a great point then. Okay, so we're now streamlining how we coach our clients, which means we're guessing when you bring staff in, it's very simple for them to understand how the process works and how, like you say, it's predictable to get clients results from there. So what about those people maybe that don't want to follow that system then? How do you kind of deal with that? Do you coach them, or are they just straight out the door?
I think kind of it all comes down to the interview sort of having those questions built into the interview process. It's definitely been, it's more challenging the more experienced trainers are. Some of the time, I think one of the biggest things that has surprised me is even really experienced coaches a lot of the time still feel like they're kind of guessing. I think because the industry is so new, there's so much information. And to have someone say to you, like, that this is how I want it to be done, this is what we've done before, here's the evidence that it works, is kind of almost like a bit of relief for them. But there's certainly been people that have kind of said, oh, I've done it my way for 15 years. I'm not sure how I'd get on with someone telling me what to do. So, kind of filtering them out of that process. I think kind of producing almost like a bit of a sort of employee avatar as to who we feel like works best with the studio, which I feel like we've kind of got now for by year sort of 2-3.
Nice. Okay. So we've created a manual, a training, a system. How is it that you coach and deliver this to your clients so they can fulfill the stuff that they need to do with the clients?
Sorry, how's coaching deliver it to the employees?
Yeah, how do you deliver it so they know what they need to coach and how they need to coach and the words they need to use?
Yeah, sure. So we combined a training manual with 2 weeks of intensive training, going through with them everything from delivering personal training sessions to the nutrition coaching side, assessments, contacting clients, check-ins. But we spend 2 weeks just going through that repeatedly with them until they work with anyone on the gym floor. And then we take them through a sort of assessment process before they then take their first sessions, just to make sure they're kind of ready to go live. And then we know they've kind of reached a certain standard before we put them in front of people.
Yeah, so you're not even letting the coaches dive straight in. They have to go through this onboarding process.
Yeah, they have to go through it. And I think over time, at first it was more of a kind of, I think we need to do this. But as time's gone on and our client base has grown, and that inevitably you get more diary conflicts, the clients end up working with, different trainers as they have to sort of jump in on different session times. If our trainers aren't of a standard, people won't book in with them. They've got access to our booking system. And if they're not happy with that, if it becomes kind of known that that new coach is, they're not so great, it goes around our little community and they won't book in with them. So we have to make sure that they're good enough from day one, so that our booking system, that another big system in the business, works properly. If we don't have a trainer that is bookable, that people want to jump in with, then we have a problem.
Okay, so just quickly, just so we can all understand then, what is the model? What is the fitness business model that you run?
So it's personal training. We do probably about 80% one-to-one, which wasn't the original ambition of the business, but it's kind of, we're in quite an affluent pocket and it just seems to be the way that it's grown. We work with a lot of kind of executive C-level clients, super busy people. We're on the train line to London. It's that kind of thing. Does that make sense?
No, yeah. So just so we can all understand kind of how it works. So the coaches will work, I don't know, 6 till 2 or something, or 6 to 1, and they'll have all those slots available. Yeah. And clients can book into any slot with any trainer, can they?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Cool. Okay. Exactly. They have a primary trainer that takes care of them, that is their responsibility. So that trainer is responsible for their journey and their results and looking after that client. But they have the ability to book in with other trainers as well. When diary conflicts happen and they can't get in with their coach, it just saves there suddenly being this massive buildup of sessions where, I just can't get in with anyone. And actually, to be honest, it does that, which is great as well from a financial perspective. But also it creates a much better sort of community experience for the clients and the coaches too, because they kind of get to meet and work with everyone at some point. But it relies on, to come back to your first question, it relies on the coaches being of that standard. And that's why it has to be systematized, how they deliver the coaching. A standard has to be the same.
So sticking with this model then, because we're going to have people watching who run large groups, they're going to have people who run small group PT, medium group, one-to-one. What kind of, and you said this wasn't the original plan, so what was it that dictated you moving down the route of doing mainly, like you said, 80% of your time doing one-to-ones? What kind of moved you into that model?
To be honest, it was the demands of the market in our area. We had initially a sales process where people went through a kind of presentation and, it took them through sort of what we offered and everything. And at the end, it came out with the prices and packaging, and semi-private was there, private was there, and just in our area people just started wanting private more. I think financially semi-private makes a lot more sense, but it just kind of happened this way for us.
Nice. Okay. So sticking with fulfillment then, because we've gone through kind of the staff need to go through a certain process and everything. What other kind of systems do you put in place to fulfill, to deliver, to serve the clients?
Yes. This is another, I think, awesome topic to talk about. I think this is another massive gap in the industry right now. And I think that more people need information on this. So I think a lot of PTs in gyms right now are still doing a kind of clipboard, maybe a workbook of all their clients, and they're kind of tracking what what's happening with clients and everything on pen and paper. And, you know, online training has happened. It's huge. And I think that there's this amazing space for hybrid training, for using this the systems that you can create in online training, creating a much more in-depth, more value-driven customer experience, client experience, by combining the physical training of being with someone in your space and having that online element too. And I think it's also the market's demanding it more as well. I still know trainers that think that sort of, you know, sending an ebook on day one is that's nutrition finished for that client. And they want more, they want coaching. And with these systems, with obviously David, you do a lot with PT Distinction now, and the guys at PTD Ninja. You can just deliver such a phenomenal client experience and systematize it so that it's all done and sorted within minutes. I think that's a huge part of the second stage of systemization that I would definitely recommend.
So just so we all understand, you're basically building almost like a course over, like, let's say a 12-month period, where it drips into them over the period of a little bit about carbs, a little bit about protein, a little bit about hydration, a little bit about vegan, a little bit just different things over the course of the year, just to keep them updated with the knowledge.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, I think there's lots of different models. So it depends on your niche and who you're working with. But for the sort of busy professional market, this sort of habit-based nutrition coaching approach that Precision Nutrition have sort of pioneered is fantastic. It works incredibly well. As the busier the client is, the more simplistic the things that they need to focus on are to sort of move the needle in the right direction. So you can drip feed over a year, habits that they can focus on, from protein to sleep, and have them track it as well, so you know how well they've adhered to it, and you can automate all of this over time too, which, yeah, like I said, in terms of that, it delivers enormous value as a client, but it also is delivering enormous value to you as a business and as a coach as well. Your coaching is improved by it, and also your client's experience is improved by it.
I'm guessing it's build once, use many.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
So for the client fulfillment, we're using PT Distinction, and anything else that we're using, any other software systems we're using to fulfill the clients?
We did use lots of other systems. We've used the Precision Nutrition system is called ProCoach. We used that for a couple of years, and it is also fantastic. But I think that PT Distinction is kind of doing it, can kind of do everything, whereas ProCoach can kind of do one thing really well. And then we used Trainrise for a long time. So we've combined that. I guess the other big thing for us, sort of systems wise, is we have a body composition scanner, a Fit 3D scanner. So sort of combining these online systems with an actual physical process of getting people to assess every month on the scanner, it just creates that kind of value, but also adherence and accountability at the same time.
Okay, one more question on the fulfillment. What do you use for booking clients? Because you mentioned you have a complicated diary when you train us in. What is it you use for client bookings?
We're using PT Minder at the moment, which, you know, it does what it needs to do. There's a few things I'd like to change about it, but it does do. I think it's a great place to start, especially. We've used some pretty big pieces of software before, and we ended up coming back to this. We used an American piece of software called Wellness Living for a while, and that was okay. It just had a ton of bells and whistles that we didn't. I would definitely, especially if you're just starting out, and that's another thing I'd say, is different. Back to that coach that's still using the clipboard. I still know a PT that still manually sends text reminders to his clients the night before his sessions. You know, these systems are cheap, they're flexible, and they're going to save you, you know, just wasted time. That you don't need to be sending text reminders in 2023. PT Minder would be a great one to start with. I'm not sure we'll definitely be with them forever. A couple of things I want them to work on, but yeah, they're a very good place to start.
Nice. Okay, so let's go back a couple of stages now then, before the fulfillment. What are the systems that you're using right now to generate leads and to bring new prospects to the point of sale? Not to sale, just bring people into your ecosystem, let's say.
You guys. you guys running our ads management at the moment, which has been absolutely fantastic. That's another in this machine that you're trying to build when you're building your business. I think on this, one thing that I'd definitely like to say is pretty much everything that you can do, someone else can probably do better at some point. So, you know, ads management, I've done a bit in the past. I've done basic Facebook course. There's no way I can do it at the level that your team can do, David. I do not have the time on a daily basis to monitor the ads and monitor their performance, change creatives in the way that your team does. I just don't have that time in my diary. But I think you can apply that mindset to almost everything. It will get to the point where your personal trainers can deliver better personal training than you can, because at a certain point, your role is going to be to move the business forward, and it's not going to be to check their food diary, or, you know, that's going to be way higher up your list than the food diary is. So each point, I think you find that you're becoming a bottleneck again, and it's now time to put someone else in that machine, that a new cog in place. And yeah, in terms of bringing new leads in, obviously we've got you guys doing the Facebook ads management for us. We have a referral scheme that's once again systematized and goes out to clients on a regular basis. It's those two major things have enabled us to take the business from about 9 clients to, I think, we're on 97 now. Nice. Yeah.
Let's talk about the referral one quickly, because that's an interesting one that a lot of people kind of, they hear it all the time and they're always kind of like, oh, that would be interesting, but they never actually move forward with it, or they don't know how to move forward with it. How can you been able to nail it so well then?
Yeah, absolutely. I think this is in my sort of notes I made for this. One of the major things I want to talk about systematizing as well was this referral process, and also testimonials, because I'll just touch on testimonials first. Like, when we set up in our area, did a bit of research, listed all the top businesses that were going to be our competitors, and our biggest competitor in our area had been open for 11 years and they had 12 Google reviews. 12 Google reviews in 11 years. And we've been able to get, 70 plus reviews in 3 years by systematizing when the personal trainers ask the clients for reviews and referrals. That's it. They just know what they have weekly one-to-ones. In the weekly one-to-one, we cover their review and testimonial for the month. And we have that conversation, and then they go out and speak to their clients, the ones that they have the best rapport with. And, we do use the software systems too to automate some of this stuff, but we do find that we get the best reviews from when we get the coaches actually asking their clients. So having those conversations, I'd say, is the biggest one. Asking for referrals on a monthly basis, especially to new clients. It was something that I know that for myself in the past, I was always like, oh, they've just kind of started. Is this a, you know, oh, should I have this conversation now? Are they thinking that I kind of want things from them? But actually, usually at the start of their journey, they're, you know, they're pumped, they're loving it, that if especially they may never have experienced what you deliver before. So yeah, but absolutely have that conversation with them. You know, ask them, is there anyone else like yourself that's struggling with a similar problem to you that I could help? Do you know? Ask that question, and you'll be so surprised how many times it's yeah, actually there is. But they don't just chuck it out there. You know, you've got to ask them.
Yeah. So that is an interesting one, because like you say, we can systemize an email goes out or a text goes out to a client to say, hey, have you been enjoying it? Would you leave us a review? But I'm guessing if you caught the clients at the wrong time or their last session, they didn't go as well and they got that text, they might not need leave a greatest of reviews. So I'm guessing the clients manually asking them, they can approach them at the right time after a really excellent session, after a really good month of training or something, and get the better result or get the better reviews.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that rapport that you build with clients, or that your coaches build with their clients, that relationship is so special. And a lot of the time people want to really honor that relationship in giving you a review. So what I found quite interesting is, obviously, as you're trying to build your reviews up as a business, you're looking at that star rating a lot, and you're really working towards getting lots of 5-star reviews. And sometimes just a simple one-liner, I've had a great experience, would recommend your business, will do. But a lot of the time people really want to put down their whole kind of whole experience start to finish. They want to do different drafts of it. They want to, you know, send one over to me and make sure I'm happy before they finally put it on Google and put their stamp on it and say, yes, you know, I really do recommend your business. I've really seen results here. And if you're in the market for this kind of thing, come here. So that's really surprised me.
Yeah, no, that's true. That, and there might be people that want to put their pictures and stuff with it. Can I add some pictures and stuff? Okay, yeah. Moving on quickly. So we've done fulfillment, we've done lead gen. The only part in the middle now is sales. How are we systemizing sales? What are we doing to ensure that we're keeping a high close rate?
Yeah, sure. I think sales has definitely been a process. And I think as from speaking to lots of different business owners, it seems to work slightly different for different businesses. We initially had a very kind of sit down one-to-one consultation, go through a presentation together, you know, go through previous testimonials and then offer you a package. We tried going down a purely kind of phone sales based route, and really trying to close the deal over the phone. What we found is that for us in our location, sort of something in the middle kind of works. Sometimes we can get people to commit on the phone, and that's great. And sometimes they're like, I just want to meet you. I just want to come and see it. And so sometimes we have people come in and go through more of a consultation, introduce them to their trainer or some of the trainers, you know, build some rapport, show them around the facility, and then take them through a structured sales process from consultation to presentation to to the pitch at the end. And that's worked really well with us, kind of having those two sort of approaches.
I think that is a massive thing, and kind of where a lot of people might struggle, because maybe they've been speaking to one mentor or one company who say, we only do phone call sales. That is the only way you should do phone call sales. And then other people are like, you have to do face-to-face or group consultations, where we follow that exact sample as you do. We'll speak to them on the phone, depending on how the conversation's going. If it's going well, then we'll go for the phone call close. If it's not going so well, or we're just not feeling like they fully understand it, then it's come down, have a studio tour, like shows you around and kind of build and sell from there?
Yeah, some people just seem to need it. Some people just to get them over the line. I think a lot of people have been burned kind of in the past with signing up to, you know, a boot camp that they've never gone to, or they bought, you know, 20 PT sessions and they went twice. So I think sometimes they need that extra level of trust. We found Zoom calls are also pretty useful, and you take them through a similar process on Zoom. But yeah, I think part of it is in the same with personal training. You've got to kind of meet the client with where they're at, what you've got to tailor that approach slightly to them. I think it starts with the sales process, and finding what's going to work for them there as well.
Nice. Okay, so to finish up, I've got three quick fire questions, and I want these quick fire questions answered in 30 seconds or less.
Oh, shit.
Okay. The first one is, with all this knowledge you have now, if you had to start again, what things would you have done different to last time?
Okay. If I had to start again, I would have more faith in myself. I would probably have taken leaps faster. I think I stood in my own way for quite a while, and I was quite a capable trainer, and you know, knew what I was doing with clients, and kind of put things in my way to feel like I need this course. Courses are a big one. You probably don't need that course that you're looking at right now. You probably don't need as many mentors as you think, but one mentor that really knows what they're doing can be a game changer. So I would definitely recommend that too. But yeah, have faith in yourself. If you're delivering good value to clients already, and you know, you've been in the industry a while, then take that leap.
Nice. Okay. Question number two. What are your top three systems?
Top three systems. I think the first one would be the trainer onboarding system, and making sure that they are all delivering a very similar standard of training, so that you can have the most inexperienced trainer deliver the highest end product in the shortest amount of time. So that'd be my number one. Second would be the online training systems delivering within the fulfillment side. So all the nutrition coaching, access to online workouts, that kind of thing. And then the third one for me would be probably the sales process, and systematizing how you're going to get leads. And then once you've got them, what you're going to do with them.
Nice. Okay. The final one, because you kind of enjoyed that question when I asked you earlier. What are your three best, let's keep it with three best referral strategies then?
Three best referral strategies. I guess number one is have that conversation physically with your client and ask them directly. Number two would be to give them something physical. So we have a bunch of referral cards that are made up and ready to go. So if someone has mentioned something, we call it a Be My Guest pass. And they've said, oh yeah, my friend Tamsin might be interested. Go and give them a pass that they can physically give to their friend that has an expiry date on it. There's just something weird that happens when someone has something physical. I have no idea why it's different to an email, but it just seems to work. Number three, I guess my tip number three would just be about asking consistently, and not being afraid to ask consistently. Especially as you've got new clients coming into your business, try and make it a almost automated process that happens within their first month to have that conversation, whether or not it's physically giving them something, an email going out. We do both, but having a system so that you're doing it on a consistent and frequent basis.
Nice. Ryan, appreciate you coming on today. Thank you for coming on and sharing systems, books, referrals, loads of different stuff with us today. I guess we'll come back further down the line, check in and see how you've been progressing from shared to studio to a few more studios maybe in the future.
That's the one. That's the one.
No way. Thank you for your time, and we'll speak to you very soon.
Awesome. Thank you, David.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us this week on another guest interview. Each and every Monday, we try and bring you a brand new guest interview to help you grow and scale your fitness business. As usual, if you haven't already subscribed to the channel, don't forget to subscribe below. And if you want to watch these interviews live and ask questions, then come and join us inside the Three Facebook group. I'll speak to you all next week. Cheers.